Is that not the greatest story ever told? Well, welcome. It's nice to see you all here. This morning we're talking about the resurrection. Jesus died on the cross, but he rose again. And because he rose again, he's not dead, he's alive. Amen? And because he's alive, he's working in your heart, in your life, and in mine. And we've been celebrating his work today. Thousands of years later, he's still working. The title of my message this morning is Seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. We're going to talk about the resurrection. The New Testament records over 10 appearances of the risen Lord to his disciples. Different appearances at different times to different people in different places. He was here for about 40 years after he rose from the dead. Then he ascended to heaven. And the title of my message is Seeing Jesus. We're going to look at two resurrection appearances of Jesus. One to Mary Magdalene, his first appearance after he rose from the dead. And we're also going to look at his appearance to two disciples who were on the road to a town called Emmaus. That's why I've called them the Emmaus disciples. And the reason why my message is called Seeing Jesus is because all of these people, when Jesus appeared to them, they didn't recognize him. Jesus was right in front of them, talking, walking, working, but they didn't see him. Isn't that profound? Thousands of years have gone by. How much has changed? Today we celebrate that he is risen. The tomb is empty. By the way, thank you, Donna, for this wonderful mural. It wasn't Dory. We've got a few talented artists, not just Dory, but also Donna. The tomb is empty. He's risen. That means he's alive. And if he's alive, then he's here, right? Right now, he's here. Do you see him? How many people do not see Jesus in our world today? Even though he's here, and he is at work, amen? He's working in millions of lives all around the world. Do you see him? Mary and the Emmaus disciples didn't see Jesus, at least at first. Why? Why didn't they see him? Well, we're going to look at the reasons why they didn't see him. And it's interesting, when you look at the reason, it tells us a lot about today. It's the same reason today why many people don't see Jesus. So let's read in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. John chapter 20. And verse 11 says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb." Now let's back up a second. Make sure we're all on the same page. Remember, just a few days earlier, Jesus was condemned to death. He was nailed on a cross, impaled on a wooden beam by three nails driven into his hands and his feet. And the Bible says that on him God laid the iniquity, the sin of the world. Your sin, my sin, was laid upon him on that cross. That's why he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And Jesus died. The Bible says that he died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they had to hurry to get Jesus buried. You see, because the Sabbath was approaching. Sundown on Friday, that's when the Jewish Sabbath begins. They only had a couple of hours to take Jesus down, to wrap him up, and to put him in a tomb. The Bible tells us that Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin, a rich man, asked if he could put Jesus in his own tomb. You see, back then they didn't bury people 6 feet under, but they put them in hewn rock tombs. Out of caves they would make tombs and they'd put people there. So that's where they put Jesus. But the Sabbath came and they weren't allowed to give Jesus a proper burial. Back then they would wash the body with myrrh and aloe and spices and herbs. They couldn't do it during the Sabbath. So the women who followed Jesus decided, first thing Sunday morning, We're going to go to the tomb and we're going to give Jesus a proper burial. We're going to anoint his body with the spices. Well, what happened in the meantime? The greatest event in all of human history happened. Sunday morning, an angel came down from heaven. He rolled that stone away. The stone that weighed tons, a couple of tons, was rolled away. The Roman soldiers who were guarding that tomb fell down as dead men. And Jesus got up and he walked out of that grave. And Mary, along with the women, was the first one at Jesus' tomb. And the first time she came, she looked from afar at the empty tomb, the stone rolled away, and she said, "Oh no, someone's stolen Jesus' body." And she ran as fast as she could to tell Peter and John. And they went and they saw the tomb empty. Now, in verse 11, Mary comes back to the tomb. Now a second time she's coming back, and it says that she stood weeping. Why is she weeping? All she wanted to do was mourn over her Lord and Savior. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus cast 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene. She was tormented. She was tormented by demons. And Jesus cast the demons out of her, saved her life, transformed everything. Now he was dead. At least she thought he was dead. All she wanted to do was mourn and give him a proper burial. In verse 12, it says, "And she saw 2 angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" So Mary goes into the tomb this time to look at the tomb, and she sees 2 angels sitting where Jesus' body had been laid. And the angels ask her, "Mary, why are you weeping?" And again, she repeats, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." In verse 14, it says, "Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.'" So Mary turns around and she sees this man, and it's Jesus. But she doesn't recognize him. She doesn't see that it's Jesus. And Jesus asks her, "Why are you weeping?" just as the angels had asked. And what's her answer? "Sir, if you've carried him away." Now, isn't it ironic that Mary tells Jesus, "Jesus, where's your dead body?" Don't you find that a little bit ironic? Mary asks Jesus, "Where's your corpse? I'm trying to find your dead body." I'm sure Jesus was thinking, "I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm right here." But she couldn't see him. And this is beautiful. In verse 16, it says, "Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher." At the sound of her name, when Jesus calls her name, finally Mary sees Jesus. Seeing Jesus. Jesus can be right there in front of you, and yet you can miss it. Why did Mary miss it? Why couldn't she see Jesus? Well, she was weeping. She couldn't see him because of her sorrow. Why was she sad? She tells us 3 times, because they have taken away his body, and I don't know where they have placed him. Isn't that interesting? Why couldn't Mary see Jesus? Mary couldn't see Jesus because she was so upset, so sad about what they have done. Isn't that an interesting picture? I think there's a lot of people in our world like that today, don't you think? Pain, sorrow, anger, hatred, bitterness over what they have done to me. How many people have I heard say things like, "Well, I can't believe in God, in a good God, because this happened to me, or because he let this happen to this person that I love." Pain over what others have done to us keeps us from seeing Jesus. What about you? Do you allow pain, anger, hatred, bitterness, sorrow over what others have done to you keep you from seeing Jesus at work in your life, from seeing his love in your own life? Jesus calls Mary by name. It's at the sound of her name that she recognizes Jesus. You know, Jesus said something interesting in the Gospel of John. John chapter 10. In verse 3, he's telling a parable that he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We're the sheep. In verse 3, he says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." The Bible says that Jesus calls you by name. Have you heard Jesus call you? And I love verse 27 and 28. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Isn't that a precious promise? Jesus says, "I'm calling out to you. My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear Jesus' voice? "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." You know, it's interesting, in our modern day and age, we hear a lot of voices, don't we? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm bombarded daily with all kinds of voices in the media, in the news. But more than just the superficial voices around me, deeper than that, I often struggle with the voices inside of me. I don't know about you, replaying the voices, replaying what others have done to me, having imaginary conversations with myself. I don't know, am I the only person that does that? When I'm angry with someone, when someone has hurt me, the imaginary conversations in my head. How often am I listening to the voices of others, looking at, thinking about, seeing others, what they've done to me? And it keeps me from hearing the voice of Jesus. Keeps me from seeing Jesus' work, what he is doing in my life, what he wants to do in my life. Are you allowing the voices of others to keep you from hearing the voice of Jesus? Are you allowing pain over what others have done to you keep you from seeing Jesus at work in your life? Stop looking at others. Start looking to him. Stop listening to the voices of others in your head. Start listening to Jesus' voice. Follow after him. He will lead you to eternal life. I'd like to look at another story of Jesus's, another appearance of Jesus after he rose from the dead. So turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And I've decided I'm not going to read this whole passage because it's kind of a long story. I'm just going to summarize it for us. Luke begins by saying that very day. What day? The same day that he rose from the dead, that he appeared to Mary. That same day, two disciples were on their way from the city of Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus, about 7 miles. Now, we don't know who these two disciples were. One of them was named Cleopas. Cleopas wasn't one of the 12. These aren't the 12 apostles. These are just anonymous disciples. You know that Jesus had more than 12 followers, right? He had hundreds of people following him. Here are two anonymous disciples. And they're walking and they're talking about all these things that have happened. Jesus being crucified and these reports about him rising from the dead. And it says that, again, in our story, it says, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Isn't that interesting? Jesus appears to them. They're walking and talking to him, but they don't see him. And Jesus is going to play dumb. He says, "What are you guys talking about?" And they literally stop dead in their tracks because they can't believe it. "Are you the only stranger here who hasn't heard what's happened?" And Jesus is playing dumb. He says, "What things?" And so they begin to tell him You know, this prophet, this mighty prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, he was delivered up by our leaders to be crucified. And this is the third day that this has taken place. Moreover, there's some women who came to us this morning saying the tomb is empty. Angels have appeared, telling us he is risen. But we have not yet seen him. And Jesus is done playing dumb. In verse 25, he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter in to his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus says, why are you so slow to see the truth? Why are you so slow to believe in me? Don't you know that the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, they told that the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, has to suffer before he enters into glory? You see, as Jews, they expected the Messiah to reign, to rule. That's what the Messiah was supposed to do. He was supposed to come and overthrow Rome and set up a political kingdom in Israel, right? That's what Messiah is coming for. Wrong, Jesus says. Don't you know? All the Old Testament scriptures have prophesied and told us that the Messiah will come and suffer. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. I must suffer before I enter in to my glory. But they still don't see him. And they finally get to their house and they invite Jesus in to eat. And Jesus takes the bread. And as he breaks the bread, as he blesses, prays over the bread and breaks it, it says then their eyes are opened and they recognized him. But the interesting thing is that he vanished from their sight. In the moment they recognized him, he was gone. Now, I'm sure a skeptic might chuckle at that kind of a story, but if you think about it, if Jesus could turn water to wine, if he could walk on water, if he could make the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers, the sick be healed, if he could raise the dead, do you think it's hard for him to appear and disappear at will? I don't think so. And the disciples say to themselves, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us? We can't stay here. We've got to go back to Jerusalem. So that very night, they hurry back to Jerusalem and they tell the apostles that Jesus is alive. We've seen him. Seeing Jesus. Why didn't these two disciples see Jesus? He was in front of them, talking with them, walking with them for hours. How long does it take to walk 7 miles? 2.5 hours? I don't know. 2.5 hours? For hours. They were walking and talking with Jesus, but they did not see him. Why didn't they see him? They say in verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. You know, I talked about the irony that Mary said to Jesus, Jesus, where's your dead body? I'm looking for your dead body. Isn't it ironic that these disciples say to Jesus, Jesus, we hoped you'd save us. We thought you were going to save us. I'm sure Jesus was thinking, I kind of just died for you. I kind of just rose again for you. I think I did save you. But you see, they couldn't see that. Why not? Because of their false assumptions about the Messiah, the Christ. They assumed that the Messiah had come to reign and to rule, not to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. Jesus said, why are you so slow to believe in me? Their doubts kept them from recognizing him. Is that not true today? Do our doubts, our skepticism, our false assumptions about Jesus keep us from seeing him, from believing in him, from seeing him at work? Do you allow doubt, skepticism, to keep you from seeing Jesus alive and at work in our world today? Ah, the Bible, many people say. You can't trust the Bible. Isn't that just a bunch of stories, legends? The resurrection, isn't that a fairy tale? You know, Santa Claus, grow up. Oh, I see some kids in here. I better be careful. Grow up! By the way, that's ancient history, so what does it have to do with me? What happened a few thousand years ago? So many people in our world today allow doubts and skepticism to keep them from seeing Jesus. What about you? You know, it's interesting. What blocked Mary from seeing him was emotional. It was her pain over what others had done that kept her from seeing Jesus. It was more of an emotional problem. What kept the disciples from seeing him, these two disciples, was intellectual. It was their doubts, their false assumptions about Jesus that kept them from seeing him. And I would say that even today, in our world today, it's the same thing. Not much has changed. For some people, the pain that they've experienced in their lives keeps them from seeing Jesus. For other people, it's the doubts, the skepticism of our modern age, our modern culture, that keeps them from seeing Jesus and believing in him. Well, this morning, I don't have a lot of time. I wish I could talk about the evidence for the Bible, the evidence for the New Testament, the most reliable ancient manuscript, ancient document in the history of the world. But I'm just going to talk for a few minutes about the evidence for the resurrection. Because if Jesus really rose again, if he really is alive, that changes everything for you and for me. Is there any facts, any evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. There's a lot of evidence, compelling evidence. Even skeptical scholars conclude the evidence is quite compelling for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we could talk about this for days, but I'm just going to, in a few minutes, give you three reasons why the resurrection is not a fairy tale, it's a historical fact. Number one, the women were the first to see Jesus. All four Gospels tell us that women were the first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Now, why does that prove that Jesus rose from the dead? You see, back then, women were not viewed as credible witnesses. That's unfortunate, but that's the way the culture was. Their testimony was not considered valid. So if you're Peter and John, you're sitting around thinking, you know, let's make up a story about Jesus rising again. You would never, ever, ever make up that women were the first to see him. Because that would make people doubt you and disbelieve you, not believe you. The fact that they wrote it, the only plausible explanation for the fact that the Gospels tell us that women were the first to see Jesus is what? The only plausible explanation is because that's what the way it was. They're just reporting what happened. Women were the first to see Jesus. And the second evidence for the resurrection is the empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Think about it. If you were an enemy of Christianity in the time of the apostles, a critic, a skeptic, it would have been very easy to disprove these Christians, to call it a hoax. All you'd have to do is go to the grave and see Jesus' body and say, look, you guys are liars, it's a hoax. But they couldn't do that. Why not? Because his body wasn't there. The tomb was empty. The apostles said that. The Jews, the critics, the enemies of Christianity, everybody. You see, Jesus died in Jerusalem. Christianity started in Jerusalem. The message of Jesus' resurrection started in Jerusalem. And yet even Jesus' enemies admitted, yep, the tomb is empty. Now the Jews made up a rumor that the apostles stole his body. Really? You think that fishermen are going to outmaneuver Roman soldiers guarding the tomb to their death? They knew that if they failed, they would be executed. That they overpowered these Roman soldiers, then they rolled away a stone that weighs a couple of tons and stole his body? Really? That's what you're going to say? That's the third argument. The third evidence for the resurrection is the apostles' testimony. All of the disciples, almost all 12 of the apostles, were martyred. They suffered horribly. They were tortured. They were executed, burned, crucified, beheaded, skinned alive. All kinds of horrible things for their testimony that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. Now I know that people suffer lots of things today for things they think are true. But the difference with the apostles is that they knew. If they were making it up, they knew whether or not it was true. And yet none of them, not a single one of them, recanted. They all went down to their graves saying, Jesus is alive and we have seen him. So is there evidence for the resurrection of Jesus? There is. Don't allow your doubts, your skepticism, to keep you from believing in Jesus, to keep you from seeing him alive and at work today in our world. I'd like to conclude. This morning we reflected on the story of the resurrected Lord Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene and the Emmaus disciples. The title of my message is Seeing Jesus, because although Jesus appeared to them, they did not recognize him. They failed to see Jesus. Why? Mary's sorrow over what others had done kept her from seeing Jesus. In the same way, oftentimes in our own lives, pain over what others have done, either to us or to someone we love, keeps us from seeing Jesus, from believing in him. When Jesus called Mary's name, finally she recognized him and she saw him. What about you? Do you hear Jesus' voice above all the voices going around, drowning us out in our heads? But do you hear the voice of Jesus calling to you? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Are you allowing pain over what others have done to you keep you from seeing Jesus, from hearing his voice, and from following after him? Second, Jesus was with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, but they did not see him. Their doubt, their skepticism about Jesus made them slow to believe in him. In the same way, many people today in our society do not believe in Jesus because of their doubts. But as we saw, there's compelling evidence, historical facts, for the resurrection. And we could talk about the reliability of the Bible. In general, Christianity is historical. There's a lot of evidence for it. So how about you? Are you allowing doubt, skepticism, to keep you from seeing Jesus, from believing in him, from seeing him at work in our world today? Jesus is alive, amen? And if he's alive, then he's here with us right now. He is at work in our world, and he is at work in your life. Do you see him? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you humbled yourself and became a man, and that you died on the cross. You took our sin, our shame, our guilt, our condemnation upon yourself. But Lord, thank you that that's not the end of the story, Lord. Because you're not dead, you're alive. That's why we're here today. That's why we're celebrating Easter, because you're not dead, you are alive. And yet there's so many people in our world today. Though you are alive and you are at work, today we celebrated your work. You are working in our lives. We celebrated your work in the life of Amber, in the life of Shay, in the life of Chris, and yet there's so many people who do not see you, just as Mary and the disciples did not see you at first. I pray for us who are here today that we would see you, that we would not allow the pain over what others have done to us or have done to those we love to keep us from seeing you and recognizing your voice and following after you. That we would not, as so many people do today, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, allow doubts make us slow to believe. Thank you that there's evidence for our faith. It's not blind. It's based on fact. I pray that we would see you, that we would believe you, and that we would follow after you, Lord. You will give us eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.